Rolling, stay high.
This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make 'em hell send forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em up, head 'em off. Move 'em out, head 'em up, stay high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Snake hide.
Move it, move it, move it. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Really reigns, and we come to him in his come to you in his name, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the King of Kings. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And boy, we're having some power flashes here. Just had to reconnect our stream, so hopefully all that's working out. But seems like it is. And so I'll open it up to you, John. How are things going with you? What do you have to bring start us out with this morning?
To be honest with you, I haven't really looked at much stuff. I've been
I know you've been busy all week. I've hardly had a chance to talk to you, and I know you work some long hours.
I'm working on the kids' school, putting a roof on it. We're putting a truss roof over a 110-foot wide by 900-foot long building that had a flat roof that had tons of problems over the years. So that's quite a project with volunteers, and but we'll get through it.
Amen. Well, that's a work. Talked a little bit on Thursday night just about that, about works. We can talk all we want. If all we ever do is get on the radio and talk about it, then that doesn't rate too well with us, does it, Kyle?
No, it doesn't. It goes out like a symbol, just out through the air. It doesn't mean a whole lot of anything. I listened to part of your show on Thursday night, and I didn't catch the caller's name, one of the caller's names, but he said a few times how humility was so important. And I think, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'm guilty of forgetting how important it is to have humility.
Yeah, and it's our job to teach our children too.
Absolutely.
It's like my children ask me, well, how much are you getting paid, Dad, to do that? You've been working up there a lot of hours and this and that. And I said, I'm not getting paid anything. And they go, well, why do you do it? And I go, I do it because I'm convicted by the Holy Spirit to do it. In fact, I don't get paid. It costs me money because I invest money in this, whatever I, you know, what I feel led to do. So.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't take much, you know, like me hearing the words with that caller just kind of sunk it in, you know what I mean? It don't take much for us to exhort one another and edify one another and you know, maybe bring each other back to earth, so to speak.
Right.
You know?
And don't you think why that's one of the reasons why we're not to forsake the fellowship?
Yeah.
And that doesn't always mean just getting together on Sunday morning.
Right.
But by hearing the word, by talking with each other, I know I was edified by that caller. That's a caller that has been around the ministry quite a while. They've been out here in the early days, spent time with the pastor and Monty and the family and stuff. But you know, all through the New Testament, we're told to do just that, to exhort one another, to stir one another up. That's what the letters to the churches are in the New Testament, is that, you know. You hear, hey, as way of reminder, or to tell you this again. We know we've talked about this before. So it is. And then,
well, and people like that. Got different ideas on what being humble or humility is. You know, so many people think of being humble as being, you know, they look at it almost like, you know, somebody castrated. Because the world has so twisted views on what humble or having humility is.
Yeah, you're right there. Yeah.
You know, and the humility that the Bible talks about is completely different from what a modern-day Judeo-Christian church would say humility is.
Yeah, humility today in the modern-day Christian church is, like you said, it's effeminacy. You know what I mean? If you don't come around, come along with a soft-spoken, so easy to hear voice. You know, are you telling me that the Apostle Paul didn't have humility? You know, and it said he was rude in his speech. You know, so
they link it with effeminacy.
Right.
Right. Yep, exactly.
You know, Moses was humble. It talks about in the Bible way back in Numbers. And it seems to me that Moses killed an Egyptian for coming against his people with his bare hands, something, and buried him in the desert. Right,
and hope nobody's seen, but they did.
But
see.
They did see, you know. And so, but Moses himself was humble at times. It describes, and so yeah, you're right, Jason.
You're right.
Good point.
Is one of those things that, you know, it's admitting when you're wrong. When you say you're going to do something and you don't do it, you apologize for it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Humility is something that everybody needs to work on, but. It's not you walk around, you know, truffling your feet with your head hanging down, bent over, you know, acting like you're scared to death of everything that comes your direction. Humility is walking with the Spirit of the Lord when you're wrong, you admit it. You know, when you do something that you shouldn't, you repent of it. And you're not prideful and arrogant about it, and you don't start, you know, making excuses for why you did it, and you know, playing 20 questions and trying to blame it on everybody else. You step up to the plate and okay, say, here it is, Lord, this is what it is, and you know, I'm sorry for it.
Amen.
Did good.
Yeah,
comment.
You know, in reality, you can be boldly humble for Christ, and I think that's
absolutely
what you're supposed to be.
Sure. Sure. I think that's just what Jason's saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he's saying.
So you can go to the throne of God, and you can go boldly before the throne of God, which we're instructed to do. You're also instructed to go humbly. So the Bible doesn't contradict itself. You can go boldly, humbly before the Lord, and that's not a contradiction.
Right. Good point. Well, it's like that it takes so little, you know, just to make a phone call on a talk show or something, you know.
Right.
I had the opportunity to do that the other day against the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and you know, I was able to get a few words in there. Like, basically, the way I pray for them is that they get what they ask for. You know, God gives them what they want and gives them freedom from religion in hell. You know, of course, right after. after that, I've got to go to a break.
Right. Had an email got sent in. It was from the United Kingdom, and it was that there was a person too homophobic and racist to be a juror at the Southampton Crown Court. And
well, now you know how to get out of jury duty.
That's right. Don't know if he was humble or not about it, but it says
I didn't take queers.
Yeah, the judge read the letter out in open court, and the person wrote, "I strongly believe it would be a serious injustice to the legal system to select me for jury service. I hold extreme prejudices against homosexuals and black foreign people and couldn't possibly be impartial if either appeared in court. Therefore, it would not be in the court's interest to have me a juror."
The president arrest him.
Well, that's the thing, is he is now facing prosecution for admitting that, because over in the United Kingdom, in Britain and England, that's against the law now, those thought crimes. Too.
It will be here, too.
And he says, "I'd be more than happy to speak to a judge regarding my personal views regarding the legal system, which I do not hold in high regard." But he is putting it out and letting them know.
He should have added, "I was born that way." You know, I mean, because
that's what the filthy faggots say. Yeah. Right. They dismissed him from the jury. They said the judges and the judge says, "Oh, it's difficult to know for sure whether they were truly the man's belief or if he was simply trying to manipulate the system. Either way," he said, "the opinions were not those held by the vast majority of the population," and dismissed him from the jury and from the court building.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. Everybody is prejudiced.
Right.
If it's just to their own little individual family,
sure,
they're prejudiced. You know,
isn't that how God made us?
Absolutely. You know, and so if it goes to an extended family, you know, I mean, if all the way to the 12 tribes of Israel, if you're an Israelite, I mean, then that's where it goes. But you know, it's so ridiculous that they try to put out all this disinformation, you know, like that's going on in the debates and stuff today. I mean, it's all disinformation. That's how they're going to win. That's how they think they're going to win. They're going to go this route and this route, not on what they believe, but on the disinformation of what others are saying,
right.
Believing
on the lies.
And
that
it's
they
like
can put
you're
going
to tell me what I think. I mean, that's crazy, you know. But that's just the way it's been done, from the beginning. You know, I mean,
it is. Hey guys, the phone's ringing. Let's see if somebody called in this morning. Good morning. You are with Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe and PA. Yeah, earlier this year I was called into jury duty myself, and we're all sitting there. This was an entirely new setup that I had been called on I served 5 weeks on a grand jury in the state of New Jersey, and this was different, but. One of the cases that I was supposed to be serving as a juror on involved assault, and I forget exactly what the circumstances were, but they were reading out but I didn't understand it. I couldn't understand. I couldn't follow the lawyer was, or the, yeah, I guess it was the lawyer for the defendant. So I raised my hand and I asked the question, and he failed to clarify it for me. But the upshot of it is, I blurted out, not in so many words, that you know, he has a right to punch the guy. He has the right to punch the guy, or he has the right to defend himself, is what I said. And it turns out that I was rejected for that jury duty, and they gave me a $50 check, and
sent you on your way.
Days work,
and sent you on your way.
So, yeah. But anyway, we'll be listening in. And thanks for taking my call.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Good day.
Yeah, don't express an opinion if you want to be on jury duty. But then that works the other way, too, if you want to get out of it. Maybe take the hint from this guy over here and say, yeah, hang all the queers and blacks or whatever, you know. Not that we say do that. That might get you out of jury duty, though. But in the UK, it gets you in trouble, gets you arrested, and they might just... You're right, John. That thought crime is coming here as well, coming soon to a neighborhood near you. Well, Jason, what do you see going on in the world
today?
Well,
there's an awful lot of stuff going on out there with this GMO stuff. Anybody been following that?
I saw something they're linking, and I know they have in the past, but I saw something that came back up about talking about how the GMO corn is a type of birth control and sterilization when it gets into the food system.
And that's coming out, and there's getting quite a bit. I mean, there's several things going on that front. First of all, Whole Foods came out, and they are not for labeling GMO products, and they're putting GMO products in their stores now without labeling them, which was something that in the past that they were always strongly against. So they're kind of backsliding on that, chasing the almighty buck. And second of all, it did came out, there was one place where a farmer had started feeding his cattle GMO corn, and 65 of them dropped dead. And they went back and started studying and looking at the tests, and even the clinical trials, all the deaths that were incurred during the clinical trials were covered up. So he's got a huge lawsuit going against the corn manufacturing company. But that's one of the big things that's coming out is castration, chemical castration from GMO corn and products. And it's, they're having, this is, the tests that are coming out are showing huge amounts of chemical castration. And it's really, it's amazing because you look at the people when they start talking to people about it and saying, hey, what do you think about this? It's amazing how the government has a spell on people, because their response is, well, if the government says it's okay and it's safe, I think it is. And, you know, they'll show them tests and tests and tests and say, well, what about this? What do you think of it causing birth defects, causing organ problems, causing kidney problems, causing castration? Well, if the government says that it's okay, I think it's okay.
Right.
That's what they're saying. And it's just, it's got to be that spell. It's got to be just part of that spell, or part of those people that just have not woken up yet.
I think soy is another big chemical castrator, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, men aren't supposed to drink soy anyway. Eat it, anything like that. I mean, it's an estrogen.
Was in the store the other day, and there a couple of colleges back in, you know, University of Wyoming, and we hate even driving in town when that's going on. And I know you guys have that year-round almost down there, but it makes a big difference here with traffic and just everybody. But I was in the store the other day, and here's a couple college young men come walking by, and both of them had a half gallon of soy milk, and I thought the very same thing, Jason, that, you know, just cut them off and throw them out the window. It'd be done a little quicker.
Put a rubber band on them.
Yeah. And but that's just what it does. It, you know, we sorted cattle yesterday. We had a little cattle drive on Thursday, brought the heifers in and got them in, and had to do the preg check on the cows yesterday. And so to do that, you have to sort them off. And so it's just like we did back in the spring when you guys came up, you know, you run them down the alleyway and let the cows go back, and you sort off the steers that have been out on grass and the little 4 to 6 month old steers, the young ones, and the heifers. And, you know, you get in that alleyway that's about 12 foot wide, and once you let the cow go by, you just kind of get down there and hold them in, you know. And it's easy to do that with steers. because they just look at you and turn around and go the other way. And we had, what, two little issues yesterday with and they were both with the Bulls. You know, with the young little Bulls that...
didn't get cut.
There was one that didn't get cut, and because he was hiding out on the river. And, buddy, he let you know it, too. He tried about four times to just go through the fence and over the fence and run right by you. There's a huge difference in steers and bulls.
And when you see something like that, you can understand why your enemies don't want you to be like that.
That's right.
Because I was thinking, man, I wish we would have cut this when it was younger. Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's
exactly.
too big now. I mean, it'll take you.
He will. And he's the same size as 20 of the steers out there. And they just, they are the same size,
but you notice they look a little better.
They do.
It looks like they have more muscle.
And look at their actions.
Yeah.
At their actions. And you're right, Kyle. And, you know, Kyle, on Kyle's program the last couple of weeks, he's been talking about Gentiles, especially this past week, and on that very thing. And that's how they look at us, as cattle. Yeah. And when you look at the cattle and you see them side by side and you see the difference, and what are we saying? We should have cut him earlier. You know, we don't want him running over us. We don't want him causing problems. We don't want him jumping through the fence. He looks better.
Yeah.
He's the way God intended him to be. That little bull is. But, you know, when you handle the cattle, you want them a little different. Got a book here on the pastor's desk called You Gentiles. I don't know if we have a radio ad for that or not. But this book, You Gentiles, by Maurice Samuel, and it's got a picture of a cattle yard on the front. It explains how the enemies of God, how Esau, Edom, how the Jews, who are doing their best to rule the world, how they look at you Gentiles, us Gentiles, how they look at the dispersion, how they look at, isn't that who James wrote to? The 12 tribes dispersed abroad, greetings. So if what you're hearing here, bulls and steers and cattle, if that's unfamiliar to you, if you're not following us here, then I'd suggest you write and get this book, You Gentiles. We'd be glad to send it to you. Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. It's a very easy read, couple hundred page book, big letters. It's an easy read. And here at the end of the book, it says, the Jew has no homeland of his own. When the Jew migrates from one country to another, it is almost invariably under the pressure of persecution. Anyway, You Gentiles, it's a book that'll open your eyes if you're not familiar with that term, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and you look at that, and you can't help but think, okay, you know, this is with what they're doing, genetically modifying our food. They're not doing it on accident.
No.
There's no way it's an accident.
No. And we saw that very thing a couple years ago with that small herd that we picked up and summered that year.
Yeah.
You know, those cows were crazy.
Yeah, they were.
And if all you dealt with was that one little herd, you would just think all cows are crazy. But when you've got the herd that we had raised here, small herd, on the radio ranch, who were easygoing, they did what cows do, and you compared them side by side, you could see just how crazy those cows that had been on, and isn't that what we thought, Jason, that they had been on that GMO corn?
Yeah, that was part of it, and part of it was the breed of cattle that they were.
Yeah. And it was night and day. Night and day difference. Well, we got a prayer request from Brother Ralph out in Missouri. And he sent it out. And what they're doing is the town of Hollister, Missouri, is trying to pass an ordinance that would make it a crime for young people to be in a public place during public school hours. It's basically a daytime curfew, a daytime curfew. And they aim at, they say, oh, we're trying to cut down on kids skipping school and blah, blah, blah. But none of the studies back it up. It's just more police control. And so Ralph asked if we would pray about that. They've got reports that daytime curfews do not cut down on crime. What they do is they allow police to search without probable cause, and they assume that a person is guilty until proven innocent. Because if they got a law that says, oh, this 16-year-old is not supposed to be out during the day, and your 16-year-old homeschooler has run to town to pick up some milk and bread for you while your wife or you're at home homeschooling your children, and the police can stop them, they automatically assume that that person is guilty. Because it's a crime to be out in public during school hours if you're a school-aged child. And so, again, it's another attack on homeschoolers. It's just more of a tightening of where are your papers, comrade? Where are your homeschool papers? You're 16. You're supposed to be in school. Well, I'm homeschooled. Well, where's your homeschool papers? How do I know that? We're going to take you in and call your parents. Or call the school. I mean, and where does it end? So... But Ralph just sent this in. We just got this in from him and asked if... He said, this is my hometown. We're trying to fight this. Please keep us in prayer. So we can sure do that. Our Heavenly Father, we do come against this Esau Edom government. Lord, this red government that's above us that never stops, that they're never satisfied, they're never content. They have to continue to push and push and try to pass more ungodly laws, statutes, and ordinances. Make it a crime to just exist. So, Lord, we come against it. We do as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, Lord, because we know that is the answer. We do humble ourselves, and we cry out to you. We hope, Lord, that the remnant hears, and that they realize that that is the only answer. Is to humble themselves and to cry out to you and to seek your face in your ways and your laws, statutes, and judgments. And most important of all, Lord, to seek your Son, Jesus Christ, and his atoning blood. And we know your word is true, Lord, in 2 Chronicles, and it says that if we will do that, and when your people do that, then you will hear from heaven, and you will come and heal the land, and you will heal it of these parasites that have infested the land, Lord, that have come in because we've sought their law instead of yours, and their rule instead of yours. So forgive us, Lord, but be with Ralph and fellow Christians in this town. Let not this ungodly law, this ungodly statute be passed. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I like the word you used, Jason. I use brainwashing a lot. But, you know, actually, the word spell, it tells more of the complete story, because how long does a spell last?
For a time.
For a spell. And that's the way it's going to be. You know, I mean, it's going to be for a spell. And actually, you know, if you read about the daughter of Babylon or the Babylon we live in, I think there's a couple verses, I can't think of them right offhand now, but it actually talks, you know, God actually says for a short time. I mean, this system that we're in right now, according to God, is for a short time. For a spell, you know?
For a spell.
Yeah, I agree. For a time, for a period.
Yeah.
But then there's a time when it's over.
Yep.
Oh, for that time to come.
I'm looking at a article here that Jesse Jackson, the title is Jesse Jackson Not Convinced That Homosexuality Is Wrong Since King Solomon and David Had Many Wives. Now what the heck does that have to do with
it? Now John, you cannot be bringing up the race card, John. Okay, now if the Jesse Jackson said it, then you know he get it from the Bible. He's talking about King Solomon and David. Now, you can't go against the Bible, can you?
Unbelievable.
So it doesn't go on to tie the two together?
Well, it just says,
I mean, having many wives is one thing, but being a fag is another.
Yeah, I know. What's it got to do with being a queer? Didn't say you yet.
I think those are exactly opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, it says Jackson believes that marriage
kind of heterosexual versus homosexual.
One's own choice. In his way, gay matrimony is both moral and a legal issue. People have the right to live with the people with whom they choose to be faithful, he explained. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That's kind of comical, though. He says, I'm not altogether convinced of that, what the Christians believe, that it's against God's law. The civil rights leader responded, going on to claim that marriage has blurred definition. King Solomon had many wives in that culture. Then David had many wives in that culture. The Muslims today have three or four wives in that culture. You know.
And those cultures aren't going
to
make it into the kingdom.
Anything, but what's that?
And those cultures aren't going to make it into the kingdom. Sorry.
Yeah, amen. So, I just thought the headline was comical.
That is. I mean, you'd think before you write something like that or say something like that, it'd be like, wow, you know, that's a complete double think there. But I guess if you're a double thinker, you don't think that way.
Exactly. The whole media is double minded.
Yeah, it is.
So are all these false prophets and preachers. So. Do you guys see that story about Obama's ring?
I heard a little bit about it.
It's interesting how, you know, he apparently has wore this ring that says God is the true Allah or something like that, or Allah is God.
And, there's no God except Allah.
Yeah, and he's worn it all the way since his college days, and it just came out now.
Yeah.
You know, you were talking earlier, Kyle, about how the disinformation that gets put out. Well, why wasn't that put out when he was running for the first election? Why wasn't that put out when he was a senator? Why didn't that come out?
Yeah, because they've been debating whether he was a Christian or a Muslim ever since he came on the scene. You know what I mean? But, you know, like you said, they wait till now. Of course, it's right for election. You know, and I'm not saying that he doesn't wear it and it doesn't say that, because, you know, it's probably true. But there's always a point behind when all these things come out, you know. When I feel sorry for the people who I guess you can call it doesn't have humility, and they want to believe the best of everybody, and you know, the people that say, oh, there's nothing wrong with drinking soy because the government wants me, you know, those type of people, they listen to all these shows, the Rushes, the, you know, whoever it is, even Glenn Beck or whatever. And they hear all this stuff, and then they hear the complete opposite stuff from other venues of the news, you know, and they don't believe that all these people have agendas, so they just live a whole life of confusion. I mean, we all have had people where we've tried to teach them, let's say it's the simplest of simple things called baptism, and we'll go through this whole, you know, this whole thing of how it's true, and we'll talk to them for maybe hours, and at the end of it they'll say, I see exactly what you're saying, and then you'll leave and you'll go to work and you'll see them a week or two later, and they're right back at square one, you know, and I don't know about you guys, but I've took extended family members and I've did this three or four times, and finally it's just like, you know. Yeah, you see my point when you're with me, but then I leave you for a week and you're right back thinking exactly where you were. So finally it's just
back,
like,
to square one.
Back to square one. So finally it's just like, you know, God's gonna have to do it because I ain't smart enough to do it, you know, or wise enough or spiritual enough or whatever it is, you know, so you gotta walk away. But there's so many, that's how our people are. They're just so, you know, under a spell, like Jason said.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know exactly what you mean. And it seems like sometimes the people that you want to reach the most, and you spend the most time trying to reach, are the ones that you don't.
Well,
you know, it's interesting because there's been so many, you know, just talking to people lately, has anybody else noticed just this almost, it's a despair, hopelessness, groaning in the spirit as of late, the last couple of weeks? I mean, not that anything big, different has changed, but it's almost like it's just a spirit that's been, that's manifesting itself more powerful over the nation.
Yeah, I see it.
I have. I've felt that. And in talking with people, you know, you know, we try to encourage when you speak to people on the phone, because it is discouraging times. You try to encourage in the Word of God. But yes, I'd have to agree, Jason.
And it's just talking to a lot of people just the last, I'd say, 2 weeks, and it seems like that there's been just a dramatic increase on it. And, you know, a couple things that are going on is, you know, we're having that, this kind of the countdown to that one of Satan's high holy days and the end of this month. And that's just, I don't think people grasp how wicked Halloween is and how the demonic side tends to gravitate towards it and how they feed off of it. And how as it gets closer and closer, we're going into a time where the days are getting shorter and shorter, it's getting darker, we're having temperature changes. And those all have a dramatic effect upon people. And, you know, with that also comes the spirits. And
yeah,
there's more demonic spirits out there than ever, just like at the end of any age, there always is. And I've noticed that with, you know, talking with some people. I had some phone calls this week and people, you know, talking to me, and I said, well, what's different? What's going on? What changed? What caused this? And there was nothing in their life that changed it. There's just no changes, no work-related changes. It was all, what it boiled down to was, it was just a spirit, something that had come over them. And, you know, I think a lot of people, I think if I've talked to a few people, I mean, quite a few people in the last 2 weeks that have felt the same thing. But I know that if there's that many people feeling it that I've talked to, how many of people out there are really feeling it? And I think that it's like this time of year, every year, something hits. And people start sensing these things and feeling this way. But it's like every year that goes on, it's stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like it's getting more powerful. And, you know, it's one of those things that you can't fight something if you don't even know that it's there, if you don't believe it exists, you know, and if you don't recognize it. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those things that people just need to recognize that, you know, this is a demonic force of hell, this is a spiritual force of wickedness, or this is Satan. And, you know, just with knowing that that's what it is, equips a person to fight back. You know,
yeah,
we're to be overcomers, and you can't overcome something unless you know you got something to overcome. So I wanted to throw that out there because we talked a little bit about that last night, and you know, people are realizing that yeah, that's what it is. You know, it is. This is nothing but something spewed up from the pits of hell. And once they realize it, they can pray against it. They can fight against it. They can overcome it.
Good point.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about kind of on a big scale here. Well, what about, you know, little individual skills where all of a sudden you'll wake up just one morning, nothing happened, you slept reasonably well, and you're just, you wake up and you're in a rotten mood, and you really don't know why. Nothing happened the night before that you can tell, but there's just something happens, you know, and it's got to be the forces of evil. I mean, there's no other way to look at it, you know. I mean, because what is it that makes you just all of a sudden, you know, just not be happy, you know, be not at peace, you know,
right.
Just, you know, there's something going on. You know? I mean, I know Jason's talking more of on a bigger scale, you know, of what's going on in society, but even as on a smaller scale, that happens, you know, occasionally to most people, I think.
I think it does too, and you know. Does it happen to people more when they don't say their prayers before they go to bed, or
maybe
when they go to bed, if they don't put the full armor of God on? You know, those are the questions that we ought to be asking.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, what can we do to protect this? But until a person realizes that, okay, this is something that's not right, this is something that came from somewhere else, they're not going to look at any defense against it.
Right.
You know, I was reading Lamentations. I've been spending some time in Lamentations lately, and I think that these couple verses really fit what a lot of people are feeling. Starting in Lamentations 1:20, it says, "See, O Lord, for I am in distress. My spirit is greatly troubled. My heart is overturned within me, for I have been very rebellious in the street. The sword slays in the house. It is like death. They have heard that I groan. There is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my calamity. They are glad that you have done. Oh, that you would bring the day which you have proclaimed, that they may become like me. Let all the wickedness come before you and deal with them as you have dealt with me. For all my transgressions, for my groans are many, and my heart is faint." Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
And the Lord chastises those who he loves, and we've all been through that chastisement. And, you know, there's two ways that that chastisement can go. You can either learn from it, or you can run from it. And, you know, those that love him learn from it. And but there's a time coming when, you know, he gets his remnant in order. That's when, and his remnant is obedient, does what they need to do. That's when he deals with the rest of the world.
Right. Right. When our obedience is complete. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. This is Willis over in Southern Illinois. How are you guys this morning?
Doing good, Willis. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I was listening to the show, enjoying it, and I just thought occurred to me that I've wondered before about, you know, the antenna array they have up in Alaska, I believe it is, the HARP antenna array. I don't know if you're familiar with that and how they can generate frequencies with that can actually be used for mind control if they really, I think, set their minds to it. Being that Satan has a power over the air here on the earth. And, you know, I've been thinking about all the cell phones and all the microwave towers and, you know, TV is digital now and phones are digital. And I was wondering if those frequencies that are emitted actually could have a force over the way people think and react, and if that could be why sometimes this gloomy weather effects seems to affect people more and more year after year. And I think to combat that, like Jason said, everybody needs to be putting on the full armor, and this time of year especially, seeing it's coming up, Satan's high holy day here, coming up on Halloween, that we might ought to be praying that Satan stop in prayer more often.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and I think that you're right on with what they're doing with that HARP. I think that you know, you take something like that, and with the cell phone antennas, there's so many frequencies out there that you know, can affect people in so many ways, and at such a low level that you really don't have any idea what's going on. I mean, right now there's over 70 million people in the U.S. Suffering from chronic sleep disorders, where people don't sleep at night. You know, they sleep for an hour, get up, and I think that could be just due to all the frequencies that they are bombarding us with, and, you know, or who knows, it could be coming directly from HARP, because for people that are having sleep issues and don't get any rest, that long term, that has a tremendous effect upon a people.
It does.
Oh, yeah. How many people is it affecting that don't even realize it, that it's affecting why they sleep, and they're not getting into the deeper levels of sleep where they need to for proper brain function? I mean, so how's that going to affect people over a 20-year period?
Well, for one thing, it makes the pharmaceutical companies rich, because the people go and they buy this drug to help and that drug to help, or this booze to help and that booze to help, and then that just contributes to the problem.
And all the doctors need is to write you one prescription, then they're guaranteed to write you a few more over the next few months. Anyway, I was just wondering if maybe some people out there know if there's any similarities between the HARP antenna array and all of the cell phone tower arrays that we've got spread across the entire country now. Technology.
Well, one thing that's interesting is that, these new smart meters that they're trying to put in all over the place, that they're set up, and they have almost a network of their own, because these smart meters, and they're just starting to put them in Fort Collins, but they'll transmit from one meter to the next meter, and then they'll transmit from the meters to the light poles, and they transmit from the light poles to the cell towers.
Hmm. Yeah, there's no telling what the kind of information they can, receive from people as far as how much electricity you're using, and you're cooking more often than you usually do, or you're all the other things that information.
Yeah, what other information are they putting in there? Are they putting in there more than just information? Is it something that is affecting your health? Is it something that is preventing you from sleeping? Causing tumors? Is it causing cancer?
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much of it that we just don't know.
As Peter said years ago, it's all about frequency.
Yep.
Well, listen, I'm enjoying the show this morning. You guys have a great morning. I'm going to get off the phone here and let somebody else call.
Thank you, Willis. Have a great weekend.
Do the same. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Good to hear from Willis in Illinois. Got to meet him face-to-face in Branson a little while back.
Yeah.
Well, with all this frequencies and this and that, it was mentioned the full armor of God. I think there's probably new listeners out there that aren't that familiar with it. So if you do have your Bibles, Ephesians 6 is where we read about the full armor of God. And it is something to pray on yourself and your family at least daily. There's nothing wrong with armoring up later in the day, two or three times a day if you have to, when you wake up, when you go to bed, when you leave your house, before you make a trip. Certainly nothing wrong with that. But at least armor up once a day. And in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, we read, and I like the first word of this. Kyle, does it have that in the King James? Would you turn over there, Ephesians 6, 10? Because the New American Standard starts with the word finally. And so, this is in addition, then, to everything else that we're instructed to do, to be Christians, in trusting in the Lord, in turning away from evil.
Yeah, it's finally.
Finally. And so, think about that. When we've done everything else, when we've read the Word, when we've prayed, when we've forgiven our brother, when we've done everything else that we are supposed to do, finally, he tells us, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Not my strength, but in his. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, meaning because of all this, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. And so, as important as this full armor of God is, there's so much more training and discipline that leads into it. Finally, it says, therefore, and having done everything else, having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I like this next verse. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Be on the alert. John?
Yeah, I was just going to say, a lot of people don't read the Ephesians around the full armor, but that whole chapter 6 is just phenomenal, really, in spiritual warfare.
It is. And I think all of you could add all of Ephesians to that. You know, Ephesians 4 talking about unity of spirit and the Christian's walk. And Ephesians 5 that we're instructed to be imitators of God. And it explains how marriage is like Christ in the church. And right, it's not just the full armor of God, but it's everything leading up to that and that.
Yeah. Well, over the years, I've had a lot of different kids work for me. And one time I did have a, ones that follow Satan used to get super high on Halloween. You could just see the glow in them. But what's the word I'm looking for?
Satanist?
No.
Atheist?
No.
You mean about how they'd get all excited and hyped up and everything because of
the
approach of Halloween?
Yeah, he would glow and just look forward to it for weeks, and I'd just condemn it left and right, and it wasn't too long after that he wasn't working for me, but there was just an animosity there that pagan, that's what I'm thinking of.
Pagan.
He was pagan and proclaimed it, you know? It was boldly proclaimed that he was pagan. And
well, many people don't even believe that, or they do, and they think that, well, that's okay. You know, like we said earlier, people say, oh, it's okay. Jesse Jackson, it's, I don't care who live with each other, that's all right. It's okay with them. But it tells us at the end of this full armor of God, in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert. With all perseverance, and petition for all the saints. That means be on the alert. That means be at code red. You know, don't be at code yellow when you're just sleeping. Oh, well, everybody's like me, and everybody loves me, and I love everybody, and we can't be like that. We are told, after you armor up, to be on the alert with all perseverance, and to keep each other in prayer, and to pray for the saints. And we here should pray for the remnant out there. I think we understand, or are beginning at least to understand, the power of prayer, the importance of prayer, the importance of praying for one another. Toward the end of James 5, it tells us to pray for one another so that we will be healed. The benefits that are there when we go to our Heavenly Father, when we believe this, that we do not war against Democrats and Republicans. We do not war against governors and presidents. We do, but it's against those powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces that they represent, the spiritual forces of wickedness in those heavenly places. And that's when we go to our Heavenly Father in prayer that we have that peace, that we have that compassion, and that peace that surpasses all understanding.
Amen.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. We need to invite everybody to church tomorrow. Come to church with us. We're planning on being there. We're not going to get too much snow to block the roads. So we're planning on being there. You can join us Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast at scripturesforamerica.org. We'll have a scriptural insight and study, a welcome by John. We'll have some good praise and worship music led by Shananiah. We'll have a communion message, and we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message by our pastor as well. So we invite you there. I think it was said, and you don't even have to get out of your pajamas. You can just stay at home. In any church, I think you said that, Jason, any church that you can go to in your pajamas is worth looking into, I think. So we do invite you to church tomorrow, and don't forsake the fellowship. If you're a baptized believer leading a Christian life, we invite you to partake of communion with us. If you're not familiar with communion, you can write, and I think you can read it at the website, but you need to read the book, Communion. It's Blessing, Curses, and Need. We have that in print, a new reprint. We'd be glad to send that to you as well. Again, our address, Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Well, men, thanks a lot. We'll go out with this song, Pastor Sure Liked It. See you at church tomorrow, men.
Rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make 'em health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, Snake High. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more, Snake High.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating. Our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.